The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
It is. And it's a Thursday, so welcome to it. A busy, busy day. And boy, it's been kind of a roller coaster of a day as well. It is Thursday, so Howie Klein will be joining us, and we will be joined by a new candidate. Her name is Christine Olivo, O-L-I-V-O. She is running for Congress. She's already, you know, launched her campaign for 2022, running, primarying a centrist Democrat from down here in South Florida, actually a district I used to live in, where the Congresswoman is Frederica Wilson. Frederica Wilson is a, you know, perfectly nice woman, just, you know, certainly not progressive and not, we can do better. Let's put it that way. And I think Christine Olivo is that. Howie will introduce us to her a little later on in the hour. So I'm looking forward to that. But let's start with this morning. Again, it's a day. It's hearing palooza on Capitol Hill. All kinds of different hearings going on. This is the wrong sheet. I've got two rundown sheets today because there was so much happening. So the House heard their first hearing on what happened on January 6th. That happened in the House Appropriations Committee. We had hearings on a few nominees. Jennifer Granholm was confirmed today as the new Secretary of Energy. Okay. Tom Vilsack and Linda Thomas Greenfield were sworn in yesterday as Secretary of Agriculture and UN Ambassador. Joe Manchin finally said he would vote yes for Deb Haaland for Interior Secretary, which is awesome. So it looks like she will go through and be confirmed and become the first Native American to hold a cabinet post, which is very good. We're still waiting to hear from the Senate parliamentarian, a woman named Elizabeth McDonough, who is supposed to decide whether or not the $15 an hour minimum wage provision can be included in the COVID-19 relief bill, because they're going to try to pass it using reconciliation, which only needs 50 votes as opposed to 60. She is the legal advisor to the Senate who interprets the body's rules and procedures. So her ruling will have nothing to do with the meat of the law of whether or not $15 an hour minimum wage is a good idea or not, just whether or not the Senate rules permit it under reconciliation. We still don't know. In fact, there was, a hot mic moment on the Senate floor when they were voting on something else. And you could pick up, I forget which senator asked her, but somebody asked her, which way are you ruling? And she said, we haven't announced anything yet. Okay. So that's going on. Now, something really disturbing happened this morning. You may recall some months ago, when I spoke with Marie Newman. At the time, she was a candidate for Congress from Illinois. She should have won 2 years ago, but she narrowly was beaten. This time in 2020, she did win. She's a real progressive. You haven't heard a lot about her yet, but I believe you will. And I guess it starts today, because her office is right across the hall from Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, today in the House, there was also debate and a vote on the Equality Act. The Equality Act, which would protect LGBTQ people from discrimination, any kind of discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. This is huge. It passed the House in 2019, but of course the Senate at the time was under Republican control, and Mitch McConnell wouldn't even let it come up for a vote, so it died. This time, Democrats control the White House, the House, and the Senate. Even Biden signals his support for the measure, and it still has to pass the Senate, and it will need 60 votes to break the filibuster. And unless we can do away with the filibuster, and that's obviously a question. But here's what happened in the House, in the office building where Marie Newman and Marjorie Taylor Greene have their offices. They're in the Longworth office building. Marie Newman has a transgender daughter. And so to celebrate her daughter, she put a flag, a pink, blue and white flag outside of her office in support of the Equality Act. Right. Again, the House voted on it today. And spoiler alert, I think I need a bigger fanfare. It passed. Yay. Oh, I need here's a applause. It passed 223-203. So it still needs to go to the Senate. But so that happened today. But so Marie Newman put the flag up and she shared a video of her putting the flag up on social media. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene responded by putting up a sign outside her office, which, again, is right across the hall, that says reads, "There are two genders, male and female. Trust the science." Yeah. So really, so that happened. Right. And then Marie Newman posted the video on Facebook, who promptly took it down, and they accused her of hate speech. Really? I mean, the outrage. I'm nothing shocks me anymore, but it really, really pissed me off. So thankfully, it didn't take Facebook too long to realize that, you know, they screwed up, and they acknowledged their mistake and apologized to Marie Newman, and they reinstated her video, but not before her piece of shit neighbor, Marjorie Taylor Greene, gets up on the House floor and starts whining.
I'd like to point out to my Democrat colleagues
Democratic.
That there is no Republican member of Congress that condones the attack on the Capitol on
Bullshit.
January 6th. I was also a victim in this chamber when it happened.
They're your friends.
We are very offended at your constant attacks on us for claiming we had anything to do with it. So that needs to stop. I'd also like to address the entire 117th Congress and
what?
Say that the Equality Act is not about stopping discrimination.
Oh,
it's
really?
About causing discrimination.
What?
Against women and religious freedoms.
What?
I would like to motion to adjourn, Madam Speaker.
That is enough of her. That is hate speak. It goes against women's rights and religious freedom. Excuse me, if you're not transgender, it doesn't affect you at all. If you're not gay or a lesbian, it doesn't affect you at all. It says you can't discriminate against anybody else, period. But these people, these religious nuts, take it personally. So earlier, there was debate in the House on the Equality Act. I don't know if that was part of it or not. But this is really ugly. And so I posted that on Twitter. I mean, and I said, you know, shame on Facebook. I'm paraphrasing here. I said, really, if you're going to go after hate speak, you went after the wrong person, not the one celebrating her daughter, the one spewing hatred. And, you know, I've been targeted by the right wing trolls who are all coming after me and saying there is no such thing as hate speak. Have you heard Rush Limbaugh? Have you heard Tucker Carlson? Have you heard any of those idiots on the right? All they do is spew hatred. That's what they do. Don't tell me there's no such thing as hate speak. That's like, you know, that would be like Tucker Carlson saying there is no such thing as QAnon.
So it's worth finding out where the public is getting all this false information, this
what?
Disinformation,
what?
As we'll call it.
What?
So we checked. We spent all day trying to locate the famous QAnon, which in the end we learned is not even a website. If it's out
it's
there,
it's not even
not
a website.
It. Then we checked Marjorie Taylor Greene's Twitter feed, because we have heard she traffics in disinformation, CNN told us. Nothing there.
Wow.
Next, we called our many friends in the tight-knit intel community.
Oh, my God.
Could Vladimir Putin be putting this stuff out there? The Proud Boys? Alex Jones? Who is lying to America in ways that are certain to make us hate each other and certain to destroy our core institutions? Well, none of the above, actually. It wasn't Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was cable news.
Oh.
It was politicians talking on TV. They're the ones spreading disinformation to Americans. Maybe they're from QAnon.
He's saying there is no such thing as QAnon. That's because I'm always saying there is no such thing as Antifa. There isn't. There's no organization Antifa. Again, this is gaslighting to the nth degree. But there was a point I was going to make. Let me take this call. We'll see who it is. Hi, who's this?
This is House of Roberts.
This is what? Who? Oh, it's House of Roberts. Hey, House of Roberts from the chat room.
Do you not realize that YouTube is not playing?
No. YouTube is not. Oh, shit.
I thought I better call.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. I had no idea. I never started YouTube. Unbelievable. Yeah, you know what?
There it goes.
Thank you. Oh, my God. YouTube, I'm so sorry.
We weren't sometime when we got more time to talk.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, my God. You know, thanks, House of Roberts. I really appreciate it. YouTubers, I'm so sorry. I was wondering why the numbers were so low. Oh, my God. I guess I am a little brain foggy from the injection I got yesterday. The only thing I thought was that, you know, my arm is really sore. You can even see like the red circle. But I didn't think I was foggy, but I guess I am. I'm so sorry. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you. Well, I don't even know what I'll do. You missed the whole beginning when I was talking about the Equality Act. So let me do a real quick recap of what you missed in the first 12 minutes, YouTubers. Basically, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a hateful piece of shit. The Equality Act passed. Yay! 223-203. And the Republicans are hateful, horrible people screaming about, you know, this Marjorie Taylor Greene put up an ugly sign outside of her office door, which is right across the hallway in the Longsworth office building, whichever one I just said, from Marie Newman of Illinois. Marie Newman put up a flag, an equality flag, in honor of her daughter, who is transgender, and the fact that they were voting on the Equality Act today. So Marjorie Taylor Greene puts up this hateful sign saying there are two genders, male and female. Trust the science, from the party that doesn't, you know, agree with science. So. So that happened. Then Marjorie Taylor Greene went on the floor of the House and whined about. So I'm not going to subject you to her again. But so that happened. Right. And then I was just about to tell you about, during the debate before they voted on the House floor, some other Republican piece of shit, Greg Stubbe from Florida, of course he is, took the floor and announced that he was going to start his speech with the truth. Now, I'm not going to subject you to the video and to his voice. Because, no, I'll read to you what he said, and then I can comment on it. He said, a woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear woman's clothing, for the Lord, your God, detests anyone who does this. I guess he's reading from the Bible. And then he says, now, this verse isn't concerned about clothing styles, but with people determining their own sexual identities. It's not clothing or personal style that offends God, but rather the use of one's appearance to act out or take on a sexual identity different from the one biologically assigned by God at birth. And he continues going on, talking about the standards of God. When a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences. First of all, Mr. Stubbe, you're asserting that God is a he. And furthermore, you're asserting that God exists. I have no proof of either one. Anyway, he goes on to say that the Equality Act, quote, goes directly against what it laid out in Scripture. Well, thankfully, there are Democrats on the floor there. And according to this article I'm reading, his floor speech sparked an angry response from Democrats. First was Congressman Jerry Nadler, who said that, quote, what any religious tradition describes as God's will is of no concern to this Congress. Next up was Representative Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, who reiterated the bill's intent to prevent discrimination against the LGBTQ community. She then slammed members of Congress who, quote, describe transgender people as something less than, as undeserving and illegitimate. And then Congressman Al Green stepped up. Now, I'm not always the biggest fan of Al Green. Not that I've got anything against him. He's just, you know, he's kind of a backbencher, and he sometimes comes across as a little, I don't know, weird, spacey, whatever you want to say about him. But I want to play for you what he said, because I think it was just spot on. Here you go.
Still I rise, Mr. Speaker. You used God to enslave my foreparents.
Okay.
You used God to segregate me in school.
Yeah.
You used God to put me in the back of the bus. Have you no shame?
No, they have no shame.
God created every person in this room.
If you believe that kind of thing.
Are you saying that God made a mistake?
I guess so.
This is not about God. It's about men who choose to discriminate against other people because they have the power to do so.
Yeah.
My record will not show that I voted against Mr. Cicilline having his rights.
I don't understand.
My record will
that.
Show
I don't
that when
care.
I had the opportunity
oh, maybe he's a gay man.
To deliver liberty
gentleman's time has expired.
All, I voted for rights for all.
He voted for rights for all, as he should. By the way, we also need to salute Jerry Connolly, who had a retort to Mr. Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan, by the way, there is a documentary coming out. It's being produced by, I'm drawing a blank now. Somebody's production company. See, I do have brain fog. Somebody in, was Al Green a question on Rock and Roll Jeopardy, Nicole? That's the wrong Al Green. I guess I do have brain fog from the damn shot, because I forgot to start YouTube. And of course, I'm drawing a blank here. Who was Jerry? Jim Jordan. I can look at my notes and I could figure out pretty quickly. What, again, there were so many hearings going on today that I'm trying to remember what they were arguing with. That's Al Green, the congressman from the Houston, Texas area. That's not Al Green, the singer. That is Congressman Al Green, in case you were wondering. Because if it was the Reverend Al Green, he's the happiest man alive. And George Clooney. Thank you. George Clooney is making a movie. He's got a production company, and they're working on a documentary, go figure, about the wrestling program at Ohio State that assaulted young boys that Jim Jordan was part of. So anyway, Jerry Connolly had enough of Jim Jordan's nonsense during whatever hearing they were in this morning. And here's what Jerry Connolly said. Oh, it was yesterday, I guess. Jerry Connolly said this.
I didn't vote to overturn an election, and I will not be lectured by people who did about partisanship.
You go. Yeah, I wouldn't either. Okay, so all this kind of stuff happened. Oh, one of the best moments today was a hearing. I forget which committee it was, but it was the hearing. They're debating the minimum wage increase for the COVID relief bill, right? And Lindsey Graham is doing the questioning, and he's talking to the CEO of Costco. Now, if you know anything about Costco, as far as big stores go, they're the good guys. So the CEO of Costco is testifying before Congress, and Lindsey Graham thinks, oh, I've got him here. I've got him here.
Okay, Lindsey.
Lindsey.
Mr. Chairman,
it's
how
a
do
budget
you say
committee.
Your last name, sir?
Jelinek.
Mr. Jelinek, one, Mr. I Jelinek. Want to congratulate you for your attitude that you have about your employees, and it's a great business you have. What was the gross revenues last year of Costco?
Last year, $163 billion.
Okay, what about the year before that?
Year before that was 148.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's been pretty consistent, right?
Correct.
Now, you said something I thought was very very wise. You're not testifying about other areas of the economy, other sectors of the American economy. You're just telling the Costco story. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That
and
is
you
correct.
You have paid vacation?
Yes, we do have paid vacation.
I just want to give an aside.
Because Costco takes care of their employees.
I can't remember going on vacation until I was in high school.
Why? Who cares? Shut up,
if
Lindsay.
If you own a restaurant, it's hard to close.
Oh, my God.
And if you're not there, people steal you blind.
We don't
so
care, Lindsay.
I just want
Lindsay.
To let you know that my concern is not really about Costco because...
Of course not.
I think anybody that makes $158 billion, you can probably... 53, whatever the number is, you can absorb some increase in cost.
Oh,
I'm worried
God.
About the small business owner who is struggling because COVID has reduced their capability to earn a living. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
No, I don't. Duh.
If you're asking me correct, I do understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. So if you run a restaurant or a hotel and nobody can travel in the country and seating capacity has been reduced by half
God.
Or
Get
more,
to the point, Lynn.
Revenues are down. And can you understand why an increased mandate from the government in terms of cost would be a devastating blow?
Here you go.
No, I can't understand why it would be a devastating blow. I think it's a devastating blow to the employees.
Oh, okay, yes.
I can't understand.
I can't tell.
Yes.
Let's see if I got this right. You can't understand why a restaurant in South Carolina who has got half seating capacity because of COVID, barely hanging on, it would be devastating them to increase their cost in terms of doubling the minimum wage. You don't understand that?
It's not doubling.
I don't know that I was suggesting doubling the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the
proposal.
The position.
Proposal is over 5 years.
That's Bernie. Yeah, 5 years from now.
My view is I'm not here to discuss a proposal.
Okay.
I'm here strictly to discuss Costco.
No, that's fair enough. Would you support $11 hour minimum wage
increase? Oh, my
God.
It's not an $11 an hour increase. It's saying $11 an hour.
Yeah.
It's better than $7.25.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
And that's what Lindsay takes away from it. Boy, what a slime ball he is. Right. But, Costco, you go, Mr. Jelinek or whatever your name was. That was pretty awesome. What? David's handing me a note. Lindsay knows all about devastating blows. Touche. That calls for this. Yeah. Okay. What else do I want to tell you about? I've got all this stuff because so much went on today. I already played you the Tucker Carlson says there is no such thing as QAnon. It's a comedy of errors. It really is. They just got, you want to see something pathetic. This isn't from yesterday or today. I think it's from earlier this week, but I had to hold on to it because to show you how awful these people are. We went 4 years without an animal in the White House, without a pet, because pets are really good judges of human character. I don't think a dog would submit to being owned by Donald Trump. I think the dog would say, some dogs, they see certain people and they bare their teeth and they growl because they know they're good judges of character. So with that, this segment was from Newsmax. Yeah, Newsmax, who wants to be the next Fox. I don't know who these people are, but apparently they saw a video of the dog Champ. That's the older of the Biden's two German Shepherds. Champ, I think, is like 14 years old, which is ancient for any dog, let alone a big German Shepherd, right? So listen, just look and listen to this crap. God, it makes me so mad.
Did you see the dog? I want to show you something I noticed. Doesn't he look a little A little rough?
No.
I love dogs.
Bullshit.
But this dog needs a bath and
Excuse
a comb
me?
And all kinds of love and care. I've
what?
Never seen a dog in the White House like this. I remember Buddy. I remember Millie. I remember lots of dogs, but not a dog who seems... I don't know. I don't
what?
Know how much love and care he is getting. Let's bring in the historian.
Oh, my God. The dog looks and is perfect. And you, whoever you are, no-name moron from Newsmax.
Fuck you. Fuck you very, very much.
Yeah, boy, talk about frustrating. Really frustrating. One other thing. You know, today is February 25th. And I would be remiss if I didn't mark the date. It was a year ago, 1 year ago today, that we just started hearing about, you know, that the coronavirus was here, right? That it hit our shores, that it was here. In fact, this was from yesterday. Donald Trump tweeted, and again, this is yesterday. This was February 24th. The coronavirus is very much under control in the USA. We are in contact with everyone in all relevant countries. CDC and World Health have been working hard and very smart. Stock market starting to look very good to me. Ugh. Okay, and you know what he did for the next year. It was also the day. And I remember hearing this doctor, a doctor who worked for the CDC. Her name was Dr. Nancy Messonnier. And I heard this on the news that night, 1 year ago today, and my ears perked up. This is what she said.
Ultimately, we expect we will see community spread in this country. It's not so much a question of if this will happen anymore, but rather more a question of exactly when this will happen and how many people in this country will have severe illness.
She warned us what was happening. She went on further to talk about the conversation she and her husband had with their two young children, telling them how their lives were going to be disrupted, that they would probably be out of school for a while, that they would be homebound. They wouldn't be going out because this was going to be serious. We never heard from her again. She was vanquished because she said the things that Donald Trump didn't want the public to know. Because as he told Bob Woodward, he downplayed it because, you know, he didn't want to cause a panic. And now we have 500,000 dead Americans. It's, you know. It's crazy. I don't know if they fired her, Elizabeth G, in the chat room, but we've not heard from her since. I think they reassigned her somewhere. All right. I told you about Tucker. I think I have like all this stuff. What else? We have obviously. You know, there's other stuff. There's news that I'm just shying away from because, again, there's so much going on that stay tuned. Well, after the show, I'll play what's news for you so you can hear anything I didn't have. But, oh, I know where I was going. Let me just finish. Sorry, I am scattered and I will blame it on the vaccine, even though it's probably not the vaccine. So, this morning, while the debate was going on over the Equality Act, which subsequently passed, while Marjorie Taylor Greene was harassing, Illinois, what's her name? The congresswoman from Illinois, I am, right? The one whose daughter is a trans woman. Oh, Marie Newman. Oh, my God. I guess I am being affected by this vaccine. So Marie Newman, whose office is across the hall from Marjorie Taylor Greene, put out an equality flag to salute her daughter and the Equality Act, which was being voted on today in the House. I got it. I got it. Marie Newman. No, it's a go. Just go. Just go. I got it. I got it. So while that was going on, there was also the confirmation hearing for the Surgeon General nominee, Dr. Vivek Murthy, and the nominee for the Assistant Secretary for Health, Dr. Rachel Levine. Well, Dr. Rachel Levine happens to be a trans woman. And I gotta tell you, just Rand Paul is a really obscene excuse for a human being. I want to play for you some of what he said. I can't play it all because I'm going to vomit. But this was Rand Paul talking down to this doctor, Rachel Levine, again, a trans woman. And listen to what Rand Paul said to her.
Senator Paul.
Oh, I can put up the video.
Genital mutilation has been nearly universally condemned. Genital mutilation has been condemned by the WHO, the United Nations Children's Fund, the United Nations Population Fund. According to the WHO, genital mutilation is recognized internationally as a violation of human rights.
Okay, so he goes
genital
on.
Genital mutilation is considered particularly egregious.
And on
because
like
as
this,
the WHO
right?
notes.
Shut up, Rand Paul. So let me go in a little bit. Because he keeps going on like this. And again, he's sitting across from Dr. Levine at the table, who is a trans woman, the first trans woman nominee. And he's spewing this hate at her.
As well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual growth. Right. 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria
will experience
resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation.
I want to hear her answer. Oh, you know what? Here's her answer. I guess it's back here. Here we go.
Allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia.
Look at her face. She's pissed.
Like surgical mutilation.
Okay, where's her answer? Here's her answer.
Making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex.
Here she goes.
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust.
Oh, and it cuts her off. Damn it. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just way off today. And yes, I will blame it on the thing. But she said, I'm happy to come by your office once I'm confirmed and talk to you and your staff about transgender. And he ridiculed her. Because that's what he does. Because he is a fucking piece of shit. Hey, Rand Paul.
I just need you to shut the fuck up. Because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Oh, yeah. You know what time it is, right?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary
sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com. On the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Guess what I got yesterday?
You got your shot.
I did. I got my shot. I'm not going to throw away my shot. Isn't that how the song goes? I got my first shot. I've got a really sore arm. Have you gotten vaccinated yet?
No, I can't.
You can't?
Although my doctor has now figured out how to do it. She didn't want me to get it because it doesn't go well with chemo.
Oh.
And I still get chemo.
You still get chemo? Oh, I didn't know that.
That I can do it. So I'm going to get my first shot in 6 weeks. It's a matter of timing. You have to time the vaccine for a certain amount of time after you've had your chemo shot and before you have your next one and that kind of thing.
I got you.
It's going to work out. I'm going to get my shots.
Okay, good. Because, you know, I'm now counting. I know that I get my second shot on March 24th because I got the Moderna. So it's a 4-week, 28-day separation. And then they say it's 14 days after the second Moderna shot when you have immunity. So it's in my calendar. April 7th, I'm going to hug my kid. I can't wait. So got that going for me. So, Howie Klein, busy day on Capitol Hill today. A lot of confirmation hearings going on. But the vote for Neera Tanden has been postponed. And somebody asked Bernie today, why has it been postponed? And he simply said, because she doesn't have the votes. You called me out on at downwithtyranny.com for a tweet that I put out the other day. And I think what I was saying was, you know, I am not a fan of Neera Tanden. I'm sorry.
I didn't call you out. I just noted it. I mean, your opinion is a valid opinion, and many people have it.
Right. And the thing is, I don't think she's the perfect person for this position. I would like to see her not be approved. But there's a really creepy trend developing, and it seems like it's the nominees that are people of color that the Republicans and Joe Manchin and maybe Kyrsten Sinema, she doesn't tell us what she think, where she is on any of these, that they're against, that they have a problem with. The hypocrisy. I mean, Joe Manchin voted for Mick Mulvaney and Rick Grenell, and I could go down a laundry list of really offensive people.
There's a longer laundry list of that, of what makes Joe Manchin one of the worst, well, second worst member of second worst Democrat in the Senate.
Right.
There's no question. But what we need to conflate how bad Joe Manchin is with how terrible Tanden is.
Right. Neera Tanden is. Yeah. They kind of deserve each other, but they're not going to get each other. And it's looking more and more like her nomination is going to be scuttled. And it's because Lisa Murkowski hadn't weighed in one way or another until a Washington Post reporter yesterday showed her a tweet that Neera tweeted about her that she didn't delete by mistake.
So great.
It really was. What did she say? Something like she's smoking her own something. It was a non sequitur, but it was an insult to Lisa Murkowski, who hadn't seen it before and said, well,
none
that's interesting.
Tweeting, as you can probably imagine, do I care about? I mean, it doesn't matter to me. She can tweet everything she wants about
right.
Republicans or anyone else. It doesn't matter to me one bit. What matters to me is that she is someone who is going to be in a position to really, really, really hurt the progressive agenda.
Mm-hmm.
She's vehemently anti-progressive. She is certainly someone who favors, cuts as part of a compromise, cuts to Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
She's like bad news all the way around, and that is nothing to do with Republicans or other conservatives. It's just, you know, if they want to vote against her, God bless.
Yeah.
And then the next day we can call them out for how awful they are. I will mention, though, that Joe Manchin has endorsed
Deb Haaland. Deb Haaland.
Deb Haaland.
Yes. So... that's good.
So the thing about, you know, the racism thing, you know, Joe, I mean, I don't want to be put in a position to be defending Joe Manchin, who I hate, but, you know, he has also voted in favor just recently of other people of color who will put up for jobs. So, I mean, you know, I don't know.
It might not be that.
If you can really attribute racism to his decision to not... to not want to confirm Neera Tanden. There are a lot
right.
of reasons to not want to confirm her. Some of his I agree with, some of his I don't agree with, but she's awful.
Yes, she is.
I don't think I agree with any of his stated reasons.
Yeah, I hear you. And I agree with you, too. I do not want to see her confirmed for that position. I'd take almost anybody over her. She doesn't belong there. She has different priorities. And... She's for Joe Biden to say, if I see anybody, treat anybody with disrespect, I will fire them on the spot. Well, that's Neera Tanden. That's who she is. And I'm sorry. I don't want her there. Not that anybody asked me, but it looks like she's not going to get confirmed anyway. So, and the rest of the nominees seem to be falling into place. I haven't heard anything more on Javier Becerra, who for some reason, one of the Republicans is screaming, would you let him operate on you to be director of Health and Human Services? He doesn't have to be a doctor. What? I mean, I'm sorry. Right, exactly. The stuff they're throwing out there are just ridiculous. All right.
I'm hearing that it looks good for Javier that he is going to get confirmed.
Okay. Well, I hope so. I hope everybody but Neera Tanden gets confirmed. All right. So we are, it's only February of 2021. The next election is November of 2022. That's a congressional election and the midterms. And Howie Klein, the Blue America PAC is already in full swing and finding great candidates and helping them get going on their run. And you have one to introduce us to today.
Right. Christine Olivo. And I hope she's going to now teach me how to pronounce her name.
Let's find out.
She's an incredibly good candidate in East Florida.
Yes. In fact, I
used to live in the district that she's running.
Used to live in that district. First, Christine, hi. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. Is there a delay or?
We hear you. Okay. Hopefully you can hear us. Okay, too. And is it Olivo? How do we pronounce your name?
Olivo is what
Olivo.
I say. But you know, I should really just ask my husband. My maiden name is San and Jules, which I'm sure would have probably been way harder.
More difficult.
So, Olivo.
Olivo. So Christine Olivo, the website is christineforcongress.org, which is smart. 24th district, which is now represented by Frederica Wilson. When I lived there, I think I was there when she when she got elected. She took over for Kendrick Meek. And frankly, neither one of them have been great representatives. I mean, they haven't been awful. They just haven't been somebody that I can go, that's my congressperson. She's a middle of the roader. She's not done anything that I can, point to and say, see what she did. Why are you running against her for that reason?
Why? For that reason and then some. I was born and raised in this district. I now have two beautiful children, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I wish I could tell my children, when I grew up, it used to be like this. But I can't. What I tell them is, this is exactly what it is, what it's like when I grew up. The job of those that go before us, right, are our elders. They're supposed to leave the world in a better position for the next generation to come. And I do not feel that that has happened here in South Florida, especially with the current representation, who has been in office in various, from school board to state representative. I mean, for this district, it has been a very long time. And to still have people that can't afford to live here, to still have gentrification happening where we're pushing the people out, to still have, I mean, the median household income right now is what, $45,000? Most people live 2 or 3 families.
Wow.
2 or 3 families in one house. I don't want this to be the world that we leave behind to the next generation. And so I think it's time. It's just time for some new, fresh energy to try to do things differently.
I agree. Howie?
Yeah, Christine, a friend of mine called me this morning and said, your Blue America is going after all.
Uh-oh. Howie, we lost you for a second there. Howie Klein? I think we've lost Howie Klein.
No.
All right. Well, we can get him back because I would finish his question, but I don't know what he was going to ask you. So while we, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call him back because Howie, if you can hear me, we lost you. So I'm going to hang up and call you back. So while I'm getting him back on the line. So you mentioned you were born in that district. Have you always lived in South Florida?
No, I lived in L.A. for 7 years when I wanted to be a superstar.
Ah.
Of course, you want to be a superstar? You go to L.A.
How are you back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never went anywhere. I've been on the whole time here, and I heard you fine. I think what happened was something when you put Christine on, you took my voice off.
No, I didn't. No. I just all of a sudden, I couldn't hear you anymore. But you're back now. Oh. So you were in mid-question. You said, friends are saying to you, Howie, why are you...
Ah, okay, then that isn't what happened. Yeah, yeah. A friend had called today and said, "Why is Blue America not just going after very, very conservative Democrats like we did last time, like with, you know, when we went after Lipinski, who's homophobic and
that's who Marie Newman beat.
Working people.
Right.
Why
yes.
are we going after people like?" Frederica Wilson.
Right.
So that's, you know, and that's a valid question, and really, and we owe people an answer, and I should give Christine an opportunity to answer that question first. So, I mean,
absolutely.
Christina, you know, I know, because you and I have talked, what kind of a member of Congress you're going to be in terms of being a progressive leader. And that's exactly what she isn't. But how do you make the case to people who have voted for her over and over and over again, and as you said, one position after another, how do you make the case to them that she deserves to lose her seat? Aside from the fact, and I know you don't like...
See, it happened again.
It did happen again, Howie, but I think I get the gist of the question. I can jump in and answer if that's all right.
Yes, go. And Howie, I'm going to call you back again because something is happening on your end. I didn't touch anything here. Your phone just stopped. We stopped hearing you. So I'm going to hang up. I'm going to call you back again, and we'll let Christine answer the question. All right.
So first, when people ask me, you know, why Frederica? The first thing I ask them is, do you have health insurance? How safe are your neighborhoods? Are you able to live off of working only one job and not having to have multiple jobs in order to keep a roof over your head? I'm running because we need someone that's going to make a dynamic change. Frederica Wilson is the most absent representative in Florida.
Really?
They have written articles about it. She ranked, last election, she ranked 17th most absent. Mm-hmm. Out of 435 representatives, she came in 17th. Now, imagine if you had someone that was actually showing up to work.
Yeah, that's...
It's something as simple as showing up. I'm not going to make false promises to you, but one thing I can guarantee is that I will show up. And that is half the battle. Getting there to fight, to listen to what you need, the constituency, what do you need? Taking that to D.C. every single day, not just once a month, or, you know, maybe twice a month. No, taking that to D.C. every day, and fighting for you. You deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
And why not? That's my last thing. Why not? Who says that we just have to stick with the same old, same old? Why are we so afraid to try something new? It just might work out better for you. Take the risk. So I think we should challenge those that have been in office for so long, because if you have been in office this long, why are we still complaining about the same things?
Right. And again, if I could point to something that she's done that I can say I'm so proud of her, that might be another subject, but I can't. How are you back with us?
So a lot of the constituents will say she has her 5,000 role models program, which is phenomenal, but that will still thrive apart from her being in Congress. It's a nonprofit organization. It will still move forward. It does not depend on her being in that seat.
Right.
Let's change the topic a little bit,
okay,
Christine, to something more positive about you. Can you tell the listeners how things would change in terms of representation in that district? Very specifically, how things would change if you were the member instead of Frederica?
Well, number one, specifically, you would have someone that would actually listen. My goal is, and last election, I partnered, which I plan on partnering again with a group called Phoenix Voting. What they do is they would put up all of the bills that have been presented, things that I am able to vote on or co-sponsor, and the constituents would get to vote. It's not a real vote. It's almost like a, you know, it's like an app, but everybody gets a say. And so I get to actually see in real time what the residents in South Florida really want me to bring back to the district. What do you want me to vote on? How would you like me to vote? Number one, that would change. Transparency. You're going to see how I am voting for you. Number two, you're going to have someone that's hands-on. I'm out here in the community. I help feed almost 800 families a week in a food drive. I help young entrepreneurs start businesses and keep their businesses thriving. I do a lot here in the community. You are going to see that times 10. I would be able to not only get more hands-on, but bring the resources, the financial resources that we need to make all of these little, help all these programs excel.
What about specifically in terms of policy? Are there places policy that you're very excited about that she doesn't really get behind?
Well, number one, Medicare for all. If a pandemic has not taught us that we cannot rely on our employers for our health insurance, and I don't know what's going to do it. We need Medicare for all. Everyone deserves a chance to live. Mm-hmm. I believe that the 500,000 lives that were lost during this pandemic, we could have saved some had we have had preventative care. A lot of the people, especially in South Florida, Caribbeans, you know, we don't really take the best care of ourselves. We eat a lot of great food, but we don't have insurance also to have that preventative care. So I'm going to fight for Medicare for all. I am going to fight for climate change right now. We desperately need it.
And in South Florida, they're in denial. In Miami,
yes.
the Republicans in Miami are going through this whole thing. They're screaming because they don't want the Biden's new climate rules to change what they're doing in Miami. Why? Because when there's a full moon, the streets flood. I mean, at high tide,
we have king tides.
Yes.
And everyone, I'm gonna say how this specifically affects District 24.
Okay.
Because of the sea level rising, now developers are moving more inward. They're sort of staying away from Miami Beach, right? That affects Little Haiti. All of the Haitian Americans and the Haitians that have their businesses and their homes that they've lived there for years, they're being offered a lot of money to buy property so that people can buy their property and they can move somewhere else.
Wow.
We are slowly but surely getting pushed aside. If you don't think climate change affects you, I want you to look 10 years from now when that business that you worked so hard for is gone. Your house that you lived in your whole life is gone because at some point you allowed someone to push you out. We are going to fight for climate change.
Good. We need it. The Florida Democratic Party is not the best organization. Have you had any contact with them? Are they at all supportive or are they discouraging you?
I'm actually the Broward Democratic Committee woman.
Are you?
I am. That's a funny story in and of itself. I was asked to join because they needed more progressive voices.
Mm-hmm.
I had my first official meeting last week. I understand why they need progressive voices.
Oh, God.
Voices.
So were you part of the project, the Bernie People project, the Not Me Us project?
Yes.
That's how I became a precinct committee person. It's part of the progressive attempt to take over the Florida Democratic Party. So I'm there with you. I'm in. Yes.
It's brilliant. I love the idea. And honestly, I was the youngest person there. I was the most progressive person there. The views that they were sort of displaying were, I was cringing. But then mm-hmm. I realized this is strategic. Especially the Florida Democratic Party, they are so stuck in, I don't even know what age.
I don't know either.
But they're so stuck. They cannot be moved. The only way to move them is to replace them. I have to be very clear
with
on
you.
That. If you think that you can change this party, you cannot. It is done. The only way to move them
is to change them.
Replace them.
And to replace them, you got to do it from the inside. If you're going to change the Democratic Party, you got to be inside the Democratic Party. So I'm glad you're doing that. And we'll have to talk off the air because we've got a group. I mean, you know, we don't have the numbers that we wanted, but at least we're building something. Because to stand back and do nothing here in Florida.
A lot of people know. I know a lot of people that had they have known that this is what they needed, they would have ran for committee woman or committee man. So,
okay, well, let me tell you something. There is a Zoom meeting happening Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. If you are really a progressive here in South Florida, email me. I will give you an invite. And Christine, I'll send you an invite, too, because it would be great to have you on that call.
Thank you.
Okay. So Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Sorry, Howie. I kind of hijacked the conversation here.
Oh, that was fascinating. And I'm really happy that you got that out there. I mean, but the Democratic Party of Broward County, I mean, the Florida Democratic Party is pretty horrible.
Yes.
But the Democratic Party of Broward County has been a real problem for many, many years. Remember, that is the Debbie Wasserman Schultz home base.
That's right.
That's her party committee.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't think of another party, another local party that needs help more than that one.
No, absolutely not. And I've been so frustrated in the few meetings I've attended via Zoom that I've been tempted to say, I'm out of here. This is just so dysfunctional. But I realize that that's precisely why I need to stay.
Yeah.
So we're going to work on it.
It's a sacrifice.
Yeah, believe me, sitting on those interminable Zoom meeting calls is a sacrifice, but I'll do it. I'll make the sacrifice because, you know, what else are you going to do? You could run for office, Christine, like you are. So when did you decide to do this? Was it something that you mulled over for a while? Were you in talks with Howie for a long time? How did this all come about?
So this came about actually in 2018, it was when the children were being separated from their parents, when it was like really intense, and being a mom, I couldn't stand for it. So I went to DC and I did my own little demonstration there, and which was a spiritual finding, right? And everyone said, okay, Christine, you went to DC, you're fighting, you know, to bring families back. What next? And this is what happens next. I just really spoke to my family and my friends, and I decided to run. The actual moment that I decided to run, I was at my grandmother's gravesite, and I passed by the grave of Trayvon Martin.
Who was from the district as well. He was visiting his father, but he lived in that district.
Yes. Yeah. And my grandmother was so much into politics. She had just passed. We were just going to see where they were going to be putting her in. And the funeral director says, oh, we get kids all the time. And that was it. It was like this motherly thing. It was like, I'm so sick and tired of us not taking care of our children. I've got to do something about it. And that was it.
Awesome. Howie?
Yes.
We've got like 2 minutes left. So, any other questions you have that you want to ask?
Yes, I do. Going back a little bit to the Democratic Party. Let's take it on a national level. Do you, Christine? Do you feel that the national Democrats, not necessarily the DCCC, I know where they're at. But what about you know, the Congressional Black Caucus? Are you getting any kind of feedback from them?
No, I have gotten some feedback from the Miami-Dade Black Caucus, Democratic Black Caucus. That's it. Really, listen, I'm a young black woman going up against a seasoned black woman. It's very tough. And I knew what I was doing when I got into it. I have gotten some phone calls asking me to take my name off the ballot again. I have gotten phone calls saying, please, Christine, don't do this again. You're dividing the district. Please consider something else.
Well, I say thank you for doing it. Because you know what? Even if you don't win, you're going to make her work for it. I mean, yes. It shouldn't just be a given. Nobody should be so confident that they are just going to every 2 years get reelected. No, they need to be pushed and challenged. And you're stepping up to do that. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's so nice to meet you. And we're neighbors. So we will talk. And I'm going to get you on that Saturday morning call. Howie Klein. Find Howie, of course, at downwithtyranny.com. And check out the Blue America Pack, which you can now get to from downwithtyranny.com. Howie, I'll talk to you next week. Christine, I'll see you Saturday. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.